Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Photograph, you'll see your two alternatives that we're looking at. One is restoring just the very western limit of the project area, and then the other alternative is a full restoration of the project. For both of the major projects, we used an offshore dredge, or the contractor used an offshore dredge. It's a hopper dredge. If you can think of a vacuum cleaner that sucks up the sand, puts it in this hopper, it sails towards the beach, and then uses a pumping system to pump that sand from inside the dredge onto our beach.
Says the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting last Thursday. Tim Fontaine with Coastal Tech is the engineer talking about the beach renourishment alternatives, where you can either do a small rebuild, 250,000 cubic yards, which would basically be enough to make up for Sally and get FEMA funding for that, or you can do a full rebuild of the beach, 900,000 cubic yards, and then FEMA will give you some funding for that as well, and they'll kind of explain the math on that in a second. But, you know, basically what they're going to do is take sand that has washed out into this area and bring it back up onto the beach so that it can wash out again, so that we can pay to bring it back up so that it can wash out again. So, which is, I mean, this is how this works. But this is also how we generate tourism dollars. This is why people come to, you know, Santa Rosa County, and they go vacation here because they want to be able to see the beaches. And, you know, same in Pensacola, same in Okaloosa County, right? The same issue. And also kind of interesting, I learned a lot about this process from this conversation that they were having. And one of the things was they kind of overbuild it at first because of where it's easy to work, and also what's going to happen pretty shortly over time once you do build it kind of overly big.
When we build these beach projects, we stack the material very close to the shoreline in a very unnatural way. And we, because it's more cost effective to do that. It's much easier for the contractor to work in the dry beach area. So the red line will show an equilibrated profile. Even during construction, shortly after construction, a lot of that sand is gonna adjust to a more natural beach profile and move offshore. And that's what's signified by the red line. So if you see that, you know, almost immediate rapid erosion, that's expected. That's just the natural profile. Basically, you're forming that nearshore sandbar.
So it's going to look like it's going to all wash away in the beginning, but it's actually just kind of going into its normal position, that it's a lot easier to work on the dry land. And we, you know, all of these things are known. And so don't be freaked out when you see this happening.
If you look at our OPC, for that dredge ship to show up and start work, they charge a very large mobilization fee, like on the order of $3 million. But then the additional sand, they'll charge much less, on the order of $10 to $20 a cubic yard for each cubic yard of sand. So there's a very big cost. That first cubic yard of sand is extremely expensive because you have to pay the $3 million and that 15 or so cubic dollars per cubic yard.
Yeah, your first cubic yard of sand is $3 million and 10, right? Your second one is 10. I mean, that's the problem. That mobilization, that's the big cost. And then the question is, well, who's going to pay how much based on how much actually gets put out, and who's covering which share of it?
FEMA does not want to pay 75% of that mobilization and then let the county just pay for an extra $15 per cubic yard on top of that. So FEMA will cost share, they'll look at the overall cost of the project, and then they'll multiply that by their 250,000 cubic yards, they'll pay 75% of that amount. So it's some tricky math.
It's not that tricky, but I get what he's saying in that, look, FEMA doesn't want to pay the 22.5, the 75, because FEMA pays 75%, okay? They don't want to pay the, you know, $2,250,000 just to activate the thing and then pay, let's say it's $10 a cubic yard. They don't want to pay the $750 thereafter. Because then the county isn't paying for any of the mobilization. The idea is whatever amount the county decides to do, the total cost of the project creates a cost per cubic yard if you divide them out. FEMA will pay 75% of the cost per cubic yard of the first 250,000 cubic yards. I mean, it's not really that complicated, but that's how it's going to work. And, you know, in the end, the county has the option to do up to 900,000 cubic yards. That would be a full restoration, because this is basically like the one storm effect. And, you know, so one storm could take it out. And we don't want to have just one storm level of restoration, which is what FEMA's paying for or paying 75% of. We want to create a, you know, we want to do this so we don't have to do it again anytime very soon. So basically you had, if you just do the 250, it's an $8 million cost, which would cost the county $1 million. Or you can do an $18 million, which is about four times as much, 900,000 cubic yards, and it'll cost the county $7 million. And, of course, what they decided to do was to do the full project, which is the right answer. That is most definitely the right answer. The question was how to fund it. We'll handle that in just a second. Candy has traffic on the fives.
And we have something already. Now, this is at Grow Drive and Macklemore Drive, and it looks like there is a crash with a roadblock, and it's tying things up on both Eli Road and Copter Road. Another road that's close by. I'm sorry. I know. I can't. I do them all sideways. I know. It's at, like, near Ferguson, that whole that area off Copter Road, the industrial park. It looks like it's tying things up there. So caution there. Caution that whole area. As I understand, Scenic's fine. Johnson's fine. Not showing any issues there. The surrounding areas. That's the only thing that we see right now. Text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. I will be sure to avoid another
some
road.
Other road. I know. It's sorry, dude. It's that whole area, though, it looks like. It is tied up in that area, so caution.
So funny. 437-1620.
Miss Jenna?
I totally... No! Welcome back, by the way. Good to have you back. Okay, so back to Tim Fontaine talking to the Santa Rosa County Commission. Remember, so two alternatives, $18 million, which is $7 million for the county, or $8 million, which is $1 million for the county, depending on whether they go a full rebuild of 900,000 cubic yards or 250,000 cubic yards. They obviously went for the full rebuild, which is right. Sam Parker?
I fully support funding this, if possible, wholeheartedly, even if a portion of it is advanced and then repaid by tourists and not by any of our residents, and that's through the bed tax dollars.
Yeah, it's a perfect tourism expense because it's tourism that we're trying to generate and sustain by renourishing the beach, right?
I think that is the most important thing for the folks in my district and quite frankly, probably every district, but especially the four districts that don't have the beach, is that this is not going to be paid for by Santa Rosa County citizens. This will be paid for by the people that come and enjoy the beach and pay those bed tax dollars to our lodging establishments.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the kind of thing that you want to push off on the tourist. Kerry Smith, same thing.
We don't need to spend $1 million to show us where Navarre Beach is if it's gone. So if it's gone, we, you know, the tourist dollar does need to go towards that. And just to speak about a majority of the county really tends to stay away from the beach during the summer. If I'm not mistaken, I know I love to go to the beach, but I go to the beach mostly in the wintertime. And that's just because I don't want to deal with the traffic.
Very understandable. You know, I feel the same way a lot. Like, I don't go on, you know, I see the traffic. I don't want to go on that. And I don't need to go on that. The beach is always there for me. If I want to go, we can go in the middle of the week. It's fine. But yeah, the issue of not wanting to make people from, you know, Jay or even Milton have to pay for beach renourishment makes sense in this way, that let's let the tourists pay for it and then nobody, you know, doesn't have to come out of general fund revenue. There's a certain kind of appeal to that. Ray Eddington, who really doesn't talk a whole lot, but it is his district, Navarre.
That is in my district. And y'all haven't been there lately, you need to go look at it. It's in bad shape, especially down west end of it. It's pretty close to the homes. And I hope the fellow commissioners will go with me on the full thing on this to get it done all the way, not a partial. And I appreciate y'all going that way with me for a full, if you don't mind.
Which is exactly what they wound up going for. Colton Wright also explained his position.
I choose my words carefully so I don't use any vulgarities. I don't like to do things halfway.
You know what he was going
to
say.
I'm not a big believer in doing things halfway. I like to do it right or don't do it at all. So I certainly support a full restoration. I think it's the right thing to do for the people that live on the beach. It's the right thing to do for the businesses that are out there. And it's the right thing to do for Santa Rosa County residents. I also support the idea of using TDC dollars. I mean, it's an investment into the very thing that attracts people to the area. So, I mean, to me, that's just a cost of doing business.
Yeah, so no controversy here. You know, a lot of times in the news we focus, I focus sometimes on the controversy, the fights. But I just thought this is such an important thing, and it's important to understand and understand how the costs work and where the funding is going to come for it. Because, you know, every couple of years we have this conversation for every beach, you know. And by the way, one of the questions that sort of remains to be seen, you know, it remains to be seen how much of the original claims by Jeff Burgosh that the beaches out in Perdido are public or not, because it seems to be kind of pulling back from that claim substantially. There may still be some. We'll see. But if Perdido winds up being public access, then beach renourishment is, of course, one of the things that would become an alternative. It hadn't been previously because, you know, we're not going to renourish private beaches, especially if people are limiting your access to them. But obviously, Pensacola Beach, Navarre Beach, you know, these are places where we pay to do this because public beach that generates tourism dollars, that all makes sense. 621 on News Radio 92.3. Every once in a while, you'd like to talk about things government does that are just kind of, you know, sensible and obvious and important, which is kind of what this is. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they just take care of it. They will get it done. They will get you a good price selling and a good price buying. Even if you're buying a new build, you might think, well, that's just the sticker price. Why don't you see what Christina thinks she can do for you? Because she will tell you that she can probably get a better price than that, because I know she's told me that, you know, in this environment, even new builds, you can haggle on those. So, you know, one way or the other. And the other thing is, like, just getting the job done. Look, when you get them involved, you get Christina Leavenworth involved, you're going to get the job done. And I say that because they sold more than 200 homes last year. They've already got more than 60 homes either sold or under contract in this year already. And look, some people are going to sell one or two homes in a year. And that's fine. Look, there's nothing wrong with that. That's contributing. That's important. But if you're getting ready to hire a realtor, do you want a realtor who's going to sell one or two homes in a year? Or you know, like, this is the one? Or do you want somebody who sells so many that they know all the ins and outs, they know all the market, they know what people are going to, you know, who's going to compete, how much they're going to ask for, what kind of little things in staging are. They're just pros, okay? They're just pros at what they do. Like, again, I've told you this before, I'll tell you again. Half of the people listed on the MLS as real estate agents didn't sell any homes in the first quarter. That's the majority. It's 1,600 out of 3,000. Okay. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. Just saying, you know, everybody's got to do their own thing. When you're hiring a realtor, which one do you want? You make a choice, whatever you want to do. You're the adult. Okay. You pick. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Find out what's going on in the automotive world today at 10:30 as Ben Myers from the Pete Moore Automotive Team joins the Pensacola Expert Panel. Have a question about your vehicle? Want to know what the latest tech is in your vehicle? From Chevy, Volkswagen, and Mitsubishi, Ben will be in studio to answer your questions. That's Pete Moore Automotive on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tee times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Bands on the Beach and the Blue Angel Air Show are just a few of the fun things that Pensacola Beach has to offer. So tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9:30 as Robbie Schrock from the Santa Rosa Island Authority brings you up to date on all the happenings on Pensacola Beach. Get all the info you need for a fun and safe summer on Pensacola Beach. That's this Thursday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
From county commissioner meetings to the Blues, Andrew covers it all on your morning drive on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Have you seen the newest Bud Light ad? There's not much to play for you because it's basically just a bunch of people playing in the rain and drinking beer. This is kind of how it sounds. They're at a country music concert, a bunch of friends drinking beer, America. What I think is funny about the ad is they're all opening Bud Lights and having a good time, you know, relaxing, drinking the beer. And I think it's a very brand accurate ad because nobody cares whether there's any water from above mixing in with the water in your hand.
You're such a beer snob.
I am. No, but what's funny about this is you know, that they have now lost, what's the number? 21%? Yeah, 21% sales decline at Bud Light. Picked up by Miller and Coors, by the way, who are just as equally rainbow friendly as
they put out a grocery store and said, hey, here's gay beer. You know what I mean? They didn't. They sent somebody some personalized cans
But the pushback has been strong. Here's what's also funny. They turned off comments on the new ad. Understandably so, but you know.
Have you seen the new ad, the AI Bud Light ad?
Oh, I'm not sure about this.
It's just as weird as the Will Smith eating spaghetti.
Oh, all right.
Their faces are weird. Their cans are weird. And they're all like. They look like they're drinking like a big. You know how the Foster's cans
are. Now back to the set of V.
Big. Yeah, right.
625 Candy, tell them about the roads.
Okay. This is brought to you by Barbary Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner. It's Barbary Plumbing at 477-8782. We're watching a few accidents. One is Grow Drive and Macklemore Drive. It's the industrial park. I was telling you this earlier. Very slow on Grow and Eli as you're making your way towards Copter. That area is a little slow. In Gulf Breeze, we see an accident on Mariners Drive and Lighthouse Court. This is east of Garcon Point, north of 98. So sort of across from the Gulf Breeze Walmart, but it's in a subdivision. And speaking of Walmart, the Navarre Walmart, it's slow on 98 eastbound, east of the Navarre Walmart, east of the Causeway, not quite to Winhaven, but it is slowing down from Pritchard Point back to Whispering Pines. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Somebody texts in, Bud Light is terrible. Somebody else says, in the world of beer, there are too many good beers to drink watery swill like Bud or Miller or Coors. Listen, somebody's like, you know, okay, so you go to a party and all they've got is, you know, Miller Light and Bud Light. You're not going to drink it? Like, well, do they have something worth drinking? Like, I don't know, Pepsi? Like, you know, I will dig for the one Yingling, and Yingling is a compromise. Like, Yingling is the low end of the acceptability scale, right? But
I've
I will dig for
like,
the one Yingling.
Oh, I'm thirsty. Let me drink a beer. And I know that plenty of people are, but I use it for cooking, and I like Bud Light. I do.
I wouldn't even use Bud Light to cook with.
Okay, the reason I use Bud Light is because the Bears do so much in the community. Like, I help build the hospital.
Look, they're
so
fabulous.
I know. So when
Gold
I go
Wings
out,
too, they're fabulous. That's not
sure
the issue.
Everybody's fabulous, but you work in radio. You work with enough distributors.
But no. But they also distribute good beer.
I'm not saying
Goose
they
Island
don't.
IPA also comes from Bear Distributing.
And I would never use that to cook with because I don't want my food to taste like farts.
David Wayne is in the newsroom watching eagerly what's going to happen over here. Welcome back, Andy.
That's what an IPA smells like.
Tell me about the news, David.
Absolutely. President Biden set to meet with top congressional lawmakers later this month to discuss the debt ceiling. Reports say Biden called House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and other leaders on Monday to invite them to the White House May 9th. And this comes after Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen told lawmakers the U.S. could default on its debt as early as June 1st. If Congress doesn't raise the debt ceiling. General Motors has reportedly begun the layoffs of several hundred contract workers as part of their plan to save $2 billion. The automaker already offered buyout packages to the workers. And tennis legend Serena Williams is pregnant with her second child. She made that announcement on social media before she attended the Met Gala with her husband.
How'd that happen?
Well,
explain
well,
it, David, in great detail.
It all starts.
I have teenage boys. You have to have conversations. I'll just say it that way. 629 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, man. Somebody, we're getting all these texts, of which I can't share these texts on the air, but they are funny. Oh, man. People are glad to have you back, Andy.
Yeah, I doubt that.
I told you this, that I got one of the best compliments from somebody last week. They said they were talking to somebody else. They said, you know, they love having you on the show. Because part of it is you bring out the funny side of Andrew.
Oh, that's That's good.
I know, isn't that? You know, it's how different friends bring out different sides of you, right? That's.
Oh, no, that's
actually
true,
a classic 100%. Argument by C.S. Lewis for why it's good to have a bunch of friends. Anyway, back to David in the newsroom. What do you have coming up, David?
Orange Beach is looking at buying a portion of the Bama Bayou property. More after Fox.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. The stars were out for last night's Met Gala, but today Hollywood writers are on strike, saying they're working more for less in the streaming era.
They want better compensation and residual payments that reward writers when the show becomes a hit.
That's Fox's Michelle Polino. Impacted immediately, late night shows and SNL, soap operas, daytime talk shows. President Biden is going to meet with congressional leaders on the debt ceiling next week. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen wrote a letter Monday to House Speaker Kevin McCarthy saying the U.S. could default on its debt as early as June 1st if a deal isn't reached. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise.
Now the pressure is on President Biden to come out of hiding and actually do his job.
The Republican appearing on Fox's The Story. The Fed, meanwhile, kicking off a two-day meeting with another interest rate hike possible. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 News Radio 92.3 right now. It is clear skies, 58 degrees here in Pensacola. Absolutely beautiful morning. The future of Warrington Middle School now in the hands of Charter Schools USA. The Escambia School District narrowly approved a charter and lease agreement yesterday to move forward.
You know, I've had friends, I've talked to several people, and they said, well, you know, and as Mr. Fesco has said, you know, political suicide if you don't go along with it. I'm an educator. Educators do what's best for students regardless.
And that's board member David Williams. He voted no based on concerns that the district could be indebted to Charter USA for perhaps decades to come. And if for some reason Charter USA does not finalize the contract, then the State Department of Education will have to determine what happens next. A man has died after a tragic logging accident in Santa Rosa County. This happened yesterday morning. Santa Rosa Fire Dispatch says they were called to Sugarberry Circle, where a man was crushed by logs that came off of a truck. Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office investigating. City of Orange Beach says they're looking into purchasing part of the abandoned Bama Bayou property from the wharf. The city will consider buying 24 acres of that land at their next city council meeting. And if the purchase goes through, they plan to demolish the dilapidated buildings on the land. This is part of their effort to remove blight and encourage development. Orange Beach says they'd plan to restructure a 2019 warrant and increase it by $6 million. The land, part of an 86-acre property that was bought by the wharf last August. And before that, it sat abandoned since at least 2009 when a beach resort complex went bankrupt while under construction. Governor Ron DeSantis has signed a trio of bills into law that are aimed at certain kinds of criminals. One new law creates harsh mandatory minimum sentences of up to life in prison for fentanyl dealers that target children.
They need to be treated like murderers because they are murdering people. And if you're messing with children, you're going to have the book thrown at you 100%.
And another bill aimed at protecting children allows for the death penalty for adults that rape a child under 12. The future of that law, though, is a bit unclear, as federal law only allows the death penalty for homicide, treason, and certain kidnappings. The third law establishes statewide bond amounts. An Escambia County woman facing up to 15 years in prison. Investigators say her negligence in controlling her pit bulls led to a man's death.
Kathleen Taylor failed to properly secure her home or her kennels or any other enclosures designed to keep her dogs from roaming free. She has had a long history of allowing her dogs to roam free with animal control, and still she had no action. She took no action.
Taylor charged with negligent manslaughter. This is after a 63-year-old man was found dead last February at her property on Norris Avenue. It is 6:35, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
All right. Downtown looking A-OK so far, but we're watching a few accidents. One in Pensacola. It's Grow Drive and McLemore Drive in that industrial park. Grow Drive a little slow. Eli Road a little slow. So caution there. Mariners Drive and Lighthouse Court. This is in Gulf Breeze. It's a subdivision east of Garcon Point, like just on the other side of Garcon Point, north of 98, showing a roadblock. But again, in that subdivision, caution there. And then slow on 98 east. eastbound. This is east of the Navarre Walmart and Causeway. Not quite to Windhaven, but from Pritchard Point back to Whispering Pines. Not a little slow. And again, that's 98 eastbound as well. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Another beautiful day in store today. We'll have plenty of sunshine. Temperatures warming up near average, 82 degrees. Lows overnight dropping near 58. Another beautiful day as you go into Wednesday. Sunny skies, high near 83. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 57. Partly cloudy skies on Thursday, but no chance of rain with a high near 81. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 64. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it is looking absolutely beautiful out there right now. 58 degrees, sunshine in Pensacola, 60 in Gulf Breeze, and 53 in Milton. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Businesses might be able to secure bank deposit insurance for accounts holding more than $250,000 if Congress agrees with the FDIC's new proposal to ease the industry turmoil that sparked three bank failures in the past 2 months. The FDIC recommended the change Monday, rethinking the decades-old limit and seeking more flexibility to cover higher deposits on a targeted basis. The FDIC says raising the insurance limit for business accounts that pay for company operations such as payroll would shore up accounts that pose the most risk to financial liability. Vice Media is preparing to file for bankruptcy within days, a move that would mark a major fall from grace for a once-hot media startup that was valued at $5.7 billion at its peak. Vice, whose assets include Vice News, Vice TV, Refinery 29, and Motherboard, has struggled for years to find growth. The company has been looking to sell itself, but a deal has not materialized. On Wall Street, futures slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
Moments like hearing my cat purr good morning mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Tune in this Thursday at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel, where guests Haley Lotz and Tricia Sheridan from Pensacola State College's Continuing Education Program will be on the show talking about enrichment courses for the community, courses like tennis and kids' college, and so much more. That's all this Thursday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10:30 with Pensacola State College.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Are you curious about marijuana? Florida A&M University established the Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, also known as MARI, to educate the public about medical marijuana use as well as the detrimental health and social impacts of unlawful marijuana use on local communities. Find out more at mmeri.famu.edu.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Yeah.
that I think Charter Schools USA will likely not agree with these things. But we are here at the 11th hour. We have been directed to execute an agreement, and this is the agreement, as I understand it, that the superintendent has recommended.
So this is Ellen Odom. She is the attorney for the school board, opening up the meeting yesterday when they're talking about, you know, what parts of the deal they're going to agree to with Charter Schools USA and, you know, what parts they're not willing to agree to. And she even said, okay, we got a deal in front of us. The superintendent supports it. I don't think they're going to agree, but here we are. This is the best we can do. And, you know, I like Ellen. She's very sharp. She clearly knows what she's doing. She's sometimes wrangling cats with this board. But, you know, I think that's honest, but that's also not a good place to be yesterday when the deadline was 11:59 last night to come up with a deal that Charter Schools USA would agree to. So they worked through the stuff. One of the issues was the administrative fee. There was a disagreement about that. That's where, you know, just for being the school board, you get to retain a certain amount of the funding that goes to the charter school to kind of oversee things, because it is still a public school, even though it's run by a private entity. And that percentage can be as high as 5%. Charter wanted it to be 0. And the proposal on the table was 2 the first year, 2 the second year, 3%, then 4%. And Tim Smith, the superintendent,
as Ms. Odom said, there was a gap that we were at 5%. So we thought that this... I think this is a compromise. Do I think that Charter Schools USA will agree to this? I don't know. That will be determined.
So I don't know whether they're going to agree to this. It was a hope and a prayer, you know, like the greatest American hero. It was like, you know, we're hoping this is going to turn out. Whether holding the zone, you know, where you would have the priority for the kids who live in that geographic district, that was preserved, although there was some question about once they get over 200 per grade level in years like, I think it's year 4 and after. But for the most part, that was agreed to. One of the differences of agreement was over, you know, who gets to decide that the school isn't making standards? Well, it's going to be the Board of Education for the state, not just locally. Also, safety issues. You know, Ellen Odom was firm about, we have to retain the right to be able to close this school if there are safety issues. Charter USA, not trusting us, wanted the state to be involved in something like that. And there's also the issue of, like, what happens if we don't come up with this deal today? Paul Fetsko.
And if we do not, then actions will be taken by the state board and the commissioner to go forward to place sanctions, harsh and severe sanctions against the school district. As a possibility, there was none. There was a list given. And the one that to me is the most severe, and I'll say this just in terms of putting people in the mindset of how severe it could be, is to withhold all funding from the Escambia County School District, or no?
It's discretionary funding.
Discretionary
funding.
And they have to go legislative on some of this stuff too.
Well,
just like Jefferson County.
So what Kevin is explaining is, number one, it's not all funding. It's just discretionary funding. So Mr. Fesco didn't have that right. And also, the state apparently has to vote on it, so it's not an automatic thing, which, again, he didn't have that right. So, you know, doom and gloom. What's weird about this is he's talking about the doom and gloom alternatives, including the awful alternative, which if the school gets closed, then they've got to put the kids in Workman and Bailey. And, you know, those schools are not outstanding to begin with, okay? They're both, I think, C schools. Bellevue is a D. They cannot go there. And then Ferry Pass is a C. They also cannot go there. I think there is. Yeah, they're a C. They cannot go there because it would cause a cascade issue that they would be pulled down into turnaround into D state. But so Bailey and Workman are going to be the ones. But Paul Fetsko, even though he's saying doom and gloom alternatives, he then votes not to go forward with the agreement, which is consistent with what he said before in the meeting here in Escambia County when he said he doesn't want to deal with these folks, he doesn't think it's a good plan, and he doesn't, you know, at the state, he was much more conciliatory. Which, honestly, I'd give him a hard time about that, and I think maybe in part that's he's doing what the board, he's there to represent the board, not his own personal view. So maybe I was unfair in criticizing him too much for that, but to the state, he was like, yeah, we can work this out, and back here at home, he's like, I hate these people. So, you know, a little bit of a disagreement there with himself. David Williams, District 3.
You know, I ask myself what is best for the students of Warrington Middle School and the community. It's been stated that we fail those students.
at Warrington Middle School. I've known the administration, teachers, and staff in that community for years. We've did anything but fail those students in Warrington Middle School. We've pumped a lot of money into Warrington Middle School. I believe before COVID, there were a few points, percentage points, away from being a C. So we were going in the right direction.
So his position is that it's not as bad as everybody thinks, and things were going pretty well before COVID, and the school board didn't actually fail those kids? Reminds me of that comment from Dodgeball.
So bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Okay. All right. I'm not sure that's the approach I would have taken, but he did say he didn't like the deal.
So I'm very concerned. I'm very indebted to Warrington Middle School. I'm concerned about this agreement. I don't want to mortgage the Escambia County School District's future by making a decision today that we're indebted for 30 years or 7 years from now.
Yeah, I don't know if we're not indebted for 30 years. It's a 30-year lease. And if they're not performing, they lose the contract anyway. And if they are performing, then great, they're performing. You know, but he was the one who was going to say no to it. We'll come back to this in just a second and finish up. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
We'll have more for you on this on the Ocho.
Right, yeah.
Okay, I'm just
right.
Kidding. This brought to you by Fresh from Florida. Shoppers, this is your local sweet corn farmer. Well, somebody is letting you know that Florida sweet corn's in season. Learn more at followfreshfromflorida.com from the Florida Department of Agriculture. Traffic on the fives, Grove Drive and McLemore Drive, and Industrial Park showing a possible roadblock. Use caution there. That's Eli that's slow and Grove it's slow. Mariners Drive and Lighthouse Court. This is in Gulf Breeze, east of Garson Point, north of 98, showing a roadblock. It's in a subdivision. And then slow on 98 eastbound west of Navarre, the Navarre Walmart in the Causeway. It's east of the Causeway, east of the Walmart. Not quite to Windhaven. It is eastbound from Pritchard Point back to Whispering Pines. It looks slow in that area. And then East Bay Boulevard, that's Highway 399 in Navarre, is closed just south of Copple Drive as part of an ongoing drainage improvement project. Weather permitting, the road should open next month. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to David Williams, District 3 board member. That's the center of Escambia County, Center South. He says, I'm an educator, even if it's not the good political decision, I think it's the right decision for our kids.
You know, I've had friends, I've talked to several people, they said, well, you know, and as Mr. Fesco has said, you know, political suicide if you don't go along with it. I'm an educator. Educators do what's best for students regardless. I'm doing political stuff, but I'm first and foremost an educator. And I want to do what's best for the students, that community, those administrators.
Yeah, I understand the concern. And I also don't understand it. And here's why I don't. It seems like that school needs to be out of the school board's hands. And if Charter Schools USA is basically the last alternative, they're going to have a couple of years to make it work. And if they can't, well, they can't. And then we go to some backup. And the backup, by the way, is to have the school shuttered for a year or two and then bring it back as a magnet school. That's what several of the board members mentioned yesterday. But I heard from them the sense that several of them said they'd basically rather, in fact, that's what David Williams says, is, you know, I'd rather close it down and then bring it back in a year or two as a magnet school of some kind and see if we can't solve things that way. But that doesn't really solve things necessarily for those zoned kids. And they're going to have to spend a year or two going all the way west to Bailey or all the way east-northeast to Workman. It's not good for the parents, and it's going to be worse for those schools, too, dealing with the kids. It's just that I was glad in the end because they did go ahead and vote. They voted 3-2 to approve the agreement, which is the how it's going to operate. Paul Fetsko voted no on that, and David Williams voted that. And then there was the lease, which they worked out most of the problems on the lease side. Primarily that issue of, you know, if they build it, then we would owe them the money for the build value later on if they have to leave. That got taken out. So that passed 4-1. David Williams voted no on that. Even though, by the way, there was a moment in there where Ellen Odom, she said, even the terms we're bringing to you right now, they haven't agreed to yet.
I will say that Charter Schools USA, or Renaissance, has not specifically agreed to these terms. But these terms have been presented to them.
So they've heard of this, but and that's the part of this that kind of, I mean, it's not surprising, but it cracked me up. Like, they had the emergency meeting on Friday, and then they had the second emergency meeting on Monday, and they voted to put forward a lease deal that they don't know whether Charter Schools USA is going to accept, and they voted to put forward a performance deal that they actually think Charter Schools USA is not going to accept. At least that's what Ellen Odom seemed to say, and I think Tim Smith gave the same hint. And then so they satisfied the obligation to put forward a deal on Monday. But it looks like, I don't know, my guess is Charter Schools USA is going to say no. That's my best guess based on the information they presented. Now, they might say yes. And if the no is what happens, then these kids are going to go elsewhere for a year or two, and maybe in a year or two they're going to try magnet school. Well, we're going to have elections, you know, so maybe things change. I don't know. Now, there's a listen, we've talked about this a lot, and, you know, partially because it's really important for those kids, for that area, and for our school district. But also, you know, one of the things we don't talk about a lot, but I hear this from folks, is, Andrew, it's way more than sort of just who's running it. It's way more than just the teachers, because the teachers, many of them are very good. Many of the administrators are very good. And they're right. They've tried a lot of things to make that school work, and they've tried a lot of funding to make that school work. You have issues like parental involvement is not good. You also have issues. I mean, the parents that are more involved with their kids, this is not an all, but this is a many, have already choiced out of that school. You know, more than half of the kids zoned to that school go to other schools, right? Are those going to likely be the more involved or the less involved parents? Well, the more involved parents, okay? And you have behavioral issues. You have lack of accountability for behavioral issues. You kind of have the, I hate to talk about a group of, you know, middle schoolers publicly in this way, but we all know there are major problems at Warrington Middle School, and it is not just the oversight, right? There's a lot of problems here. So is Charter Schools USA going to be able to fix all that? God himself may not, you know, barely knows, right? So we'll see. I think we'll see. 652 on, and I think, you know, sometimes I have been guilty of talking about it like this is a simple thing, just do the deal. No, there's a lot of problems with this deal, but it is the only alternative to closing the school. That's why I would have voted yes on this deal. You know, hold your nose, vote yes. 652 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be discussing the Atlas Beverage Class, Jackson's Cooking Class, Mother's Day, Father's Day, the Fish House Beer Fest, and other fun things and promotions you won't want to miss. That's all tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Hot Glass Cold Brew is Friday night at the First City Arts Center. Get an artisan glass and fill it with craft beers. Enjoy live music and glass blowing demonstrations benefiting FCAC's Gallery 10,060 Artists. More at firstcityart.org. Pensacola Parks and Rec present the inaugural Spring Arts and Crafts Show, Saturday at Sanders Beach Corinne Jones Center. More at visitpensacola.com. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Are you ready to start saving money on your energy bill?
Join Compass Solar Energy this Thursday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Compass Solar has been locally owned and operated here in the Pensacola area for over 20 years, and they are Northwest Florida's premier solar company. Call in with your questions as we navigate through the rising costs of energy. That's Thursday at 9 with Compass Solar Energy and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
National average for gallon gas, 359. But don't worry, Florida's still above 360, 362. Do worry. 307 in Mississippi, California, 486. In Navarre, 324 east of the Walmart, 317 west of the Walmart. Now, that's a significant price drop if you go to the west side, son. 316, I don't know why I have West Side Navarre in my head. Anyway, 316 at the Murphy across from the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge, 329 in proper at the Exxon. In Milton, 315 at the Raceway, 314 in P Ridge at the Murphy, 325 if you can wait a second to the Raceway in Pace. If you're getting over into Pensacola, 306 at the Walmart, 307 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29 coming in from the southwest side, 317 at the Shell at Cervantes. 655, Candy's got traffic on the fives.
All right, Windhaven is backed up once again. So East Caution there. It's 98 eastbound again, slow through Windhaven. East Bay Boulevard closed just south of Coppell Drive. That's through June 2nd as part of an ongoing drainage improvement project. Weather permitting, roads should open next month. Grow Drive and Macklemore Drive, that's in the industrial park. It looks slow in that area. And then in Gulf Breeze at Mariners Drive and Lighthouse Court, that roadblock has been lifted. That's in a subdivision east of Garcon Point and north of 98. Certainly if you see an accident or a slowdown, 437-1620. You can text it in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Just one time I want to see all of the Met Gala people show up at Walmart dressed that way.
yeah, dude, right? You never see that unless it's Pensacon.
Right? Yeah. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The mayor of Prospect Park, New Jersey, Mohammed Karula, says he was banned from that celebration at the White House that marked the end of Ramadan. The Council on American-Islamic Relations has condemned the incident and is demanding an apology, the Secret Service saying they can't comment on White House security measures. Former President Trump will be on a CNN presidential town hall next week in New Hampshire. The network made that announcement yesterday, saying anchor Caitlin Collins will be moderating. Trump will be taking questions from local Republicans and undeclared voters. And
he's going to do a CNN town hall, but he's not sure he wants to do a presidential debate with other Republicans.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Makes a lot of sense.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. Whatever.
And a Minnesota state lawmaker hitting the news today, Andrew. Apparently he was seen shirtless during a legislative audit committee Zoom hearing. This happened yesterday. State Senator in Minnesota, Calvin Barr, was in a meeting that was being streamed on YouTube. And apparently the camera switched over to him for his vote, and he was lying down shirtless, and he had a Schoolhouse Rock I'm Just a Bill image behind him.
Are they giving him, like, a promotion? Or?
Well, no, he's found some internet fame, so maybe he can start a new internet podcast or
like,
something.
Like, of all the things that you can accuse a legislator of wrongdoing, this is pretty light potatoes, don't you think? Whatever. I guess it's
Did you have to zoom in when we were doing COVID or anything?
I've done some stuff, but not a lot. And I think
you never know.
I think anything can go wrong. I think a lot of things can go wrong.
I didn't know you couldn't see, like, when you have that background or whatever. I didn't know they could still see you. And Brent saw me without pants once. I know.
Gotta
he loves to bring
meeting.
It up. Nice. It wasn't dirty. He was like, oh,
fantastic.
I was like, ah. So it happens.
David, thanks so much for the update.
Sorry for the visual, everybody.
6:58 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. She doesn't have pants on.
Wearing pants.
We got a counter. I can't see. I'll just trust you. Take your word for it.
They're board shorts.
All right. Future news when we tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Warrington Middle School has now very tentatively approved the two parts of this deal with Charter Schools USA. Will Charter Schools USA approve it? Will they say yes?
Yes. No,
I want to say yes, but I honestly, if you force me to pick and predict the future, I'm going to say no. I think they're going to say no. Sammy's closed, but they're reopening as Ponies.
Gentleman's Club?
That's right, 45 years. They closed and sold off all the merchandise.
There's merchandise?
No, thank you. Do you think they'll succeed in the new iteration?
For ponies?
Yeah.
Is it still next
pony
to the melting pot?
Yeah, it's right there, same place.
I don't know.
Just a rebrand, I think.
I don't know.
The bill that DeSantis signed yesterday to make it allowable in Florida to execute child rapists, will that survive Supreme Court scrutiny?
Maybe.
It will now with the new court. Yeah, the old court was 5-4 leaning liberal. This one is 6-3 leaning conservative.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.